Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Maybe I'm overthinking it. It's possible.
Overthinking what?
Durant to the Rockets.
Well, all right. What are you thinking about?
Okay, here's what I'm thinking. If I had to make a bet right now, just right now, on next year's NBA regular season, I would say the Rockets are going to win less than 52 games, but the Suns will win more than 36. So when people say, you know, great trade for Houston, and they didn't give up much, all those kind of things, I'm just solely as it relates to win total in the regular season, I'm not sure it makes the Rockets a 55-win team, and I'm not sure the Suns are going to win 30. Let's just put it that way.
But I give the Rockets a better chance to win a playoff series than if they just ran the same roster back for next year.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. I don't think that Jalen Green is... like, they didn't have a perimeter guy that could get a shot and take over a game. Like, Fred VanVleet was their best perimeter player in the series against the Warriors. And the Warriors' defense, as much as it is a number one net rating, we've heard a lot, I don't think it's of the same caliber as some of the other great defenses. Like, certainly not like Houston's, OKC's. And they just made Houston look inept at times on that end of the floor.
They did.
And you saw what Minnesota did to them.
Yeah. This convinces me, too, that Houston liked Jalen Green, but they didn't love Jalen Green. Because, you know, what is he, 22 years old, and he's already averaging 21 a game. That tells me that maybe they think all he can do is score. And that maybe is all he's going to be able to do. And if that's the case, that makes it a lot easier to take the trade if I'm a Houston Rockets fan, because maybe they just didn't see Jalen Green as a good fit with all their young players. Maybe, and that might be it too. Maybe they just wanted to get a little less young and get more stability or get more consistency in there with KD. But I don't know. It's going to be clearly a fascinating offseason, and it started yesterday. Let's go to Caleb. Caleb's in Livermore. What's up, Caleb? How you doing?
What's up, fellas? How you guys been?
Hey, pretty good, man.
Yo.
Hey. Good, good. Yeah, I want to give my little chip in on this KD trade, man.
All right.
Yeah, so I think it's a great trade for both teams. I think Houston, especially, I think they looked at that first round series against the Warriors, and they realize that they need a guy who they can count on to get buckets consistently. And, you know, Jalen Green, I think, is an extremely talented player. And I think you're right, Steiny, in a few years' time, I think he can develop into an all-star in this league. And he might be one next year, who knows. But and getting Dylan Brooks, too, I think is key for Phoenix, because they were not great defensively this year. They need guys who can stop people, and Dylan Brooks is one of those guys. But for Houston, they just needed a guy who they can count on when things break down, when the game's closed, that can get them buckets. And it's hard to say now, like, how good Houston is going to be next year as far as what their standing is going to be.
Right.
But I think come down to the playoffs, KD is going to be obviously an important thing for them. And I think the reason why, too, they did kind of move off of Brooks is, and Ime Udoka talked about it, I believe, in a press conference, is that when a reporter asked him, you know, are we going to see Cam Whitmore more next season? I think that's one of the reasons why, too. I think they want to get Cam Whitmore more burn. And they got some really good players, man, with Tari and Jabari, obviously Amen Thompson and Shingun. So they got a lot of talented young players around KD. But clearly they just feel that they just needed a guy who they can count on and get them points consistently.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm kind of forgetting about, and thanks for the call, Caleb. I'm kind of forgetting about some of Houston's role players, to be honest with you. They were a fairly deep team with young players. So yeah, I guess if the young players there continue to improve and Durant can give them something, you know, over the course of the next year or two, do you see them as a championship type team?
Houston?
Yeah.
No, but I also didn't see Indiana as a championship type team, and they were potentially an injury away from winning it all. You know, the one thing that Houston didn't have is what KD provides. And that's someone who can consistently score the basketball. You know, are they better than Oklahoma City? I don't think so. I don't think the Warriors are better than Oklahoma City, but I do think that there is something interesting about a team identifying a void in their roster and just going for it or going to get it. And the reason why I don't think they gave up a ton is because I'm comparing it to what they had to give up to get Durant. They gave up Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, 4 unprotected first-round picks. Like, that's a haul. Now you're giving up a player that you clearly like, but you don't love in Green. Dylan Brooks plays the same position, so he's got to go. And you didn't even give up a future first. You gave up one in this draft, which you're probably not going to be able to use anyways. Steiny, their third overall pick from last year didn't even play in the playoff series. Like, Reed Shepard didn't play at all. So, do you really need this year's pick? 5 second-round picks is not nothing, but to me, that's worth it. What I wonder now is if you're a Warriors fan, you just saw the Houston Rockets identify a need. What does that leave you feeling like about Golden State? Like, what are the Warriors' needs, and can they address them? Because I think that if Houston, say they wanted to go out and still make a move, yeah, money might be hard now with Durant, but they still could do something.
They could.
I am wondering whether the Warriors are going to be able to do anything this summer. Like, they're a little more strapped than certainly Houston was.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I mean, what they're going to do is dependent on Jonathan Kuminga, most likely, whether they're going to re-sign him. And if they do re-sign him, they're probably going to constrain themselves more in terms of off-season moves. If they choose to use Kuminga to try to get a different player in here with a different skill set, could they get better that way? Maybe. But, you know, I do look at, and here's the other thing I was thinking, as it relates to the Oklahoma City Thunder and how wide open it is. Of course, if you look at the Thunder right now, you think, oh my gosh, who's going to beat them? But the one thing that's going to happen to the Thunder is they ain't winning 68 games next year. They're a young team. They'll probably come out and not be great the first half of the season, because that's been the pattern for the last 7 years, is the team that just wins it has trouble motivating for the entire season because it's perceived as such a grind. So I do think it's wide open from that sense. Like, yeah, Oklahoma City is going to go into next year as the favorite, but they're as beatable as any former champion. You know what I mean?
Dude, but they won 68 games and Chet Holmgren missed 50 of them.
And I just feel like...
Or 40.
I just feel like in this day and age, like I think there's something psychological about the Oklahoma City Thunder have just won the title and they've played almost into July. Like, it's going to take them a while to get going next season is what I think. Now,
well, that I agree with, but there was a 15-game gap between them and the second seed.
Yeah.
So Oklahoma City could take a step back. What does that look like? 59 wins? 58 wins? Like, they still, they have a large margin for error, or certainly the biggest one in of the Western Conference teams.
Well, yes.
Like, is there a team next year, Steiny, you think that's capable of winning 60 games not named Oklahoma City?
In the West?
Yeah. There's a ton of 50-win teams like this year, but a team that can realistically jump OKC. Like, last year, the Celtics took a step back, but Cleveland was already in a position to challenge, and Boston still, like, they were comfortably a two seed. You know, I think what you're asking is there someone good enough to step into and to replace them atop the West? I don't see that.
Probably going to be pretty hard. It's probably going to be pretty hard. I do think, like, how much do you think the regular season? Like, okay, here's what I think is going to happen to Houston. I don't think they're going to win. They're not going to finish as a two seed. They're going to finish as a four or worse. And then I think that makes it a lot harder. And I know what was Indiana? Five?
Indiana was a four.
A four. And Minnesota got to the Western Conference Finals, and they were a six. I just don't think that's the way to do it. I can't. It's hard to imagine going through the regular season. Like, okay, the Warriors, they were a seven.
Yep.
Like, it's still hard for it's impossible for me to imagine them running the table this past year. Like, maybe they could have gotten by the Timberwolves with Curry. But I don't think they were beating the Oklahoma City Thunder. And so in the end, I think the regular season was kind of what got the Warriors, is they had to play too hard late in the season. Then they got a brutal matchup in the first round with a young team, and then eventually it caught up with them in the second round. So to me, the regular season, even though players are putting less weight on the regular season, I still think the regular season goes very far toward determining who realistically can make a run or not. Because if the matchups fall your way, it's possible. But if they don't, it's a long, long road to get to the finals.
Yeah, I mean, look, OKC, they basically got the 2 or 3 week break that Draymond Green and LeBron James were talking about, because they didn't have to play hard at the end of the regular season.
It's true.
And then they swept the Grizzlies. Like, I forget how long the break was between game four of the first round and then game one when they played the Nuggets, because the Nuggets went seven games. Like, they had almost, it felt like a week, if not more,
yeah,
like 10 days between the first and the second round. But that's because they were good enough to get it done. Like, that's part of the game. When the Warriors have won championships, or even when they've just made deep postseason runs, it's been because they've taken care of business against those early round teams and they built in rest for themselves. They had a chance to do that this year against Houston, but they couldn't.
Right.
And I, unlike others, I believe it's less about the Warriors and it's more of a respect. Like, I think the Rockets were probably better than we gave them credit for. They pushed the Warriors to seven as opposed to the Warriors, like, limping into seven games.
Right.
But, I mean, that would be my biggest worry. It's not that the Warriors can't, I don't know, be a top four seed or, you know, maybe find a good matchup here and there. It's that the rest of the West is so good that in the first two rounds, assuming you get out of the first, like, that team is probably going to push you. And they're going to force you to have to play a lot where then yeah, you're going to lose a war of attrition.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco, and this may be true, 415. Steiny, you're grossly underestimating Durant's impact in Houston. They'll play its easiest basketball in years.
On the offensive end.
I know that's conventional wisdom. I just need to see if Kevin Durant can still make an impact on winning and losing. I know he can score, and I know on paper it looks like a great pickup for the Rockets. But it was a team that won 52 games last year, so what does it do to their regular season, and then what does it do to their postseason chances?
Well, I think it's slightly different, but, okay, take a look at the Warriors.
All right.
Curry clearly had a lot left in the tank, but he needed someone else to help him. I mean, Durant had Booker, and if you want to say Beal, you can. But maybe the change in situation brings out the best in him. Like, it wasn't as if Curry was cooked. You know, wasn't it people were – some people were maybe saying that Curry couldn't get it done or help a winning team. But that obviously wasn't the case, because the moment that Jimmy got here, Curry's numbers returned to where they usually are. So Durant was already putting up great individual stats, but – maybe he is still able to help a winning team. He just wasn't allowed that opportunity in Phoenix.
I mean, if you put it that way, then I got to, you know, then I got to say maybe you're on to something. And that is, yeah, before Jimmy Butler came to the Warriors, Steph Curry was playing for a 500 team. Steph Curry was the best player on a 500 team without a lot of help. And maybe Kevin Durant was the best player on a team that only won 36 games because he didn't have a lot of help. I think on paper, Booker would be better than any number two the Warriors had before Butler. But yeah, Butler changed the course of the season for the Warriors at the halfway point. And I guess now the question is, can Durant essentially do the same for the Houston Rockets? You put it that way, I can buy it a little bit. I still think they gave up more than what the Warriors gave up for Butler, but they probably had more to give up.
Yeah, some people, well, they wanted to get Durant.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the other thing too. Like, if the Warriors had had their way, he would be on their team.
That's pretty unbelievable.
That's crazy.
It is. Jimmy's in Dublin. Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Jim?
I want to address the Warriors' off-season needs before I do that. So, Steiny, so you're telling me right now that if Durant came to the Warriors, he wouldn't impact them, and they would instantly be championship contenders?
Well,
based on what you just said.
Well, here's what I think. When the Warriors got Butler, they were a 500 team, and Butler elevated them to a better team. The team that Durant's going to right now is a 52-win team, so I just think it's going to be harder for him to elevate a 52-win team. I agree on paper. It looks great. There's just something about Durant where I need to see him really get back to impacting winning, and maybe this is the team to do it.
Got you. Okay. And then also I want to say the Warriors need a big man. Like, and when I say a big man, I'm not talking about Quentin Pop, I'm talking about a legit big man that's going to be in the key and can protect the rim and get key rebounds in big moments. Box out. Not let guys come jump over your back and then not be an over-the-back call because you're not boxing out. Stuff like that. They need a long wing as well, because I mean who's your big man, like who's your shot blocker? I mean, what, Draymond? I mean that's a joke, man. I mean, if you look at all these other teams, I mean, even if you look at OKC, Hairstein is in there, you know, boxing out, getting rebounds. They got Chet in there, even though he's a twig, but he's still rebounding. Mitchell Robinson, he's blocking shots, getting 80 rebounds a game. I mean, you know, Jokic is a force in there inside. You know, so, I mean, if the Warriors aren't going to be able to do that, they're only going to be able to compete to a certain, you know, degree. They're not going to – this championship run is going to be over. I mean, it's already over, but, there's not going to be any shot of getting back to the promised land if they don't upgrade. And that's what they're doing in life. If you don't upgrade, unless you're already at the pinnacle, you're not going to go up. You guys have a good rest of your day.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate the call. I have firmly come around on the big man. You know, for two or three years when people would say they need a big man, I'd be like, well, it's got to be the right kind of big man. Otherwise, they won't play him. It's got to be a big man who can do certain things, and they all can't do certain things. But I completely and utterly am on board with what Jimmy said. Post Looney and Trayce Jackson-Davis, No. They can't come back with those three guys and not get some kind of athletic big who can defend and who can get some rebounds. Like, they can't continue to play like this. Or I shouldn't say play like this because the style's not going to change. They cannot continue to run out the players at center that they've been running out.
That's kind of the issue, is they don't run those guys out because they're not very good. Like, Post has started. He doesn't play very much. Trayce Jackson-Davis started at the beginning of this season. He was out of the rotation by the new year. Kevon Looney has had great days in the past, but he's not that guy. Like, to me, Steiny, it's as much about getting a big man as it is ensuring that Draymond Green is not your biggest man.
Yeah.
Like, that can't work. I don't know. Like, maybe you could find another guy who's similar, who takes a little bit of pressure off him. But Draymond Green cannot be your biggest man. And that's, again, why when I see Houston identifying a void in their roster and going out and getting it, I can't kill him for that. Like, I didn't look at that trade and say that's a bad deal.
No, I didn't either.
They filled a hole in their roster, even if they had to give up some things. The Warriors, I think their most glaring hole right now might be the center position. And what are they going to do about it? Because I don't think there's a Kevin Durant out there that they can just go pluck and bring in to be their center of the present and future. More so the present.
Right.
I think it's probably going to be like a Daniel Gafford or someone along those lines. But that's something that they have to try to figure out. You know, the Rockets needed a score. I'm with you. The Warriors absolutely need a big man.
Yeah. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're talking about Kevin Durant going to Houston, how that impacts the West. Of course, Houston was the team the Warriors eliminated in the first round of the playoffs this year. What does that mean for the pecking order of the West? When you look at the Houston Rockets, and you're a Golden State Warrior fan heading into next year, I don't know, before the Durant trade, are you thinking, we're better than the Rockets, and we proved it in the playoffs, and now do you think, uh-oh, the Rockets might be better than us? As for the big men that the Warriors right now are employing, I'm totally with they cannot go into the season with those three guys and not add to it. And I'm talking about Post, Looney, and Trayce Jackson-Davis. They're not, although I saw a stat, they're just not good enough right now. How about this stat? And I have to double check it. I'm pretty sure Quentin Post played more minutes in the postseason than any other rookie in the league in the postseason.
Well, I'm trying to think of ones off the top of my head that would, and I can't think of very many.
Yeah.
It's shocking, but it's also not, because rookies don't play in the postseason.
Yeah, I know.
The last one I think that actually made a big impact was probably Christian Brown, like on a title team. But even though OKC's young, none of those guys are rookies.
No. No, they're not. All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. Here's the other question. You know, Kevin Durant just went to Houston. Are they a title contender? And had Durant come to the Warriors, would they have been more of a title contender than had Jimmy Butler come here? They wanted him first, the Warriors did. What's coming up next on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. That segment also brought to you by Honda of Vallejo.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, the NBA season ended yesterday, but the offseason began. Kevin Durant is a Houston Rocket. Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks go to the Phoenix Suns. And a lot of NBA experts, Evan, think that things are really going to get rolling on Wednesday, which is when the NBA draft takes place. That's Wednesday, right? Not Thursday? I think I'm right on Wednesday. I should double-check that.
I think it's Wednesday, too. I'll
double-check. Okay. Even though the Warriors just have one pick, a second round pick on Wednesday, who knows, maybe they'll be interested. If I ask Warrior fans right now, after watching the entire playoffs, you watched your team beat Houston, you saw yourselves get beat without Steph Curry, you watched Oklahoma City get a little scare a couple times, but go all the way. Boston didn't get there. Tatum's injury. What do the Golden State Warriors need? What do they need to acquire this offseason for them to elevate in the Western Conference? And the last 3 years, Evan, they've been a mid-40 win team, I think 44, 46, and 48 the last 3 years.
Yep.
And what do the Golden State Warriors need to get, let's say, to become a 50-win team? Is that possible this offseason? 888-957-9570.
They need health. No, like, I mean, that's another thing that just, I feel like you're watching the playoffs and you're thinking, God, if this team could stay healthy, or if that player didn't go down, the what if? Like last night after game 7, really just from the 4:55 mark on to the first quarter, which is when Halliburton, and it's been official, per Shams Charania, he's torn his right Achilles tendon. I think it's completely fair to look back at that game, maybe not the series, but that game, and say, what if? That might be the biggest what if in the history of the Indiana Pacers franchise. They haven't been there in 25 years. So if I'm looking at the Warriors, yes, they absolutely need a big man. I think they could use a shooting guard. I think they could use more depth. I mean, just shooting in general is something they also don't have a ton of. But what they need is for their three older players to stay healthy next year. And that's the one thing you can't guarantee me, no matter what they do to their roster.
No, I know. I know. I think the Golden State Warriors need three things. They need a backup point guard, as far as I'm concerned, but somebody who's good enough to start 20 games when Steph doesn't start. I think they absolutely have to have a wing. But here's the caveat is Kuminga can be that guy, but he can't be that guy if he can't play. In other words, if the Warriors re-sign Kuminga just because they don't want to let go of an asset, he comes back next year and he's constrained like he's been, over the past year or so, they need Kuminga to be good enough to leapfrog, maybe not leapfrog, but to get Draymond Green off the court more and Jimmy Butler off the court more. And if he can do that, if he can improve, then he could be that guy. And then lastly, Looney's a free agent. I'd absolutely let him go. And then you got to get more athletic on the front line. Let me throw a couple names at you. The big name right now is Miles Turner, but that comes with some complications. He's a free agent. He's unrestricted, and kind of he's the flavor of the month right now, and there's talk that the Pacers may have a little trouble signing him because they'll go over that first apron. And do they want to go over the apron or aprons in a year where they don't have Halliburton? I don't know, but you know, Miles Turner to me would be, yeah, he'd be great for the Warriors.
He would be, but I also thought he'd be a little bit better in these finals. He's been really good in the postseason, but like that's kind of, I guess, one of the things that has me feeling tense heading into the next season is it's not really just one thing. You know, you need, Turner would be awesome, but then you also kind of need, you're right, a backup guard or another wing or other things. Like, the Warriors are not a Kevin Durant away from feeling like they have action. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, that they're, Houston might think that Kevin Durant could be the difference between them being a first-round exit and contending, like, winning a championship. Is Miles Turner that player for the Warriors for you?
No. But I don't know what player is at this point. You know, I to me, to get the Warriors back in title contention, it might take a Giannis or somebody like that. But short of that, you've got to shore up some areas of this team so that making a run becomes more possible in the postseason. I get it. They lost Curry, but they weren't going to win a title that small, that unathletic, and with that little shooting. I think they would have gotten eliminated the series after if they hadn't gotten by Minnesota, or if they had gotten by Minnesota, but I'm not sure they would have gotten by Minnesota even with Steph Curry. Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, I would love Miles Turner, but Miles Turner is expensive. And Miles Turner is probably a $30 to $40 million player at this point. That's what it's been reported that he could command on the open market.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if the Warriors have that ability.
Let's go out to Duck Sauce. Duck Sauce is in San Jose. What's up, Duck? How you doing, man?
Hey, morning, Steiny.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Get the drop ready. Oh. My team won our division, downtown San Jose, hoop it up this past weekend. Shout out my guys, Cherry Park.
There you go, Duck.
Nice. Duck, what are you?
But,
Duck,
anyway.
Duck, what are you? Yeah, how tall are you, man? Are you 6'3"?
Yeah, I'm 6'3".
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, man.
See, they had a big man on their team. I guarantee you they had a guy bigger than Duck, right?
Yeah, my boy's 6'5".
Exactly.
He's a load.
You got to have a big man.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, go ahead,
Duck. We were switchable on defense. We were switchable on defense. It was half court. You know, they couldn't hide from us. We were too physical. So, anyway, man, we could have used you, Steiny, for a few knockdowns in the corner.
Yeah,
stand in the corner, knock a few down for it.
Doesn't sound like you needed me.
Anyway, man, hey, you know, real quick on the Durant thing, I'll concede that they probably got a little worse defensively, but, you know, one of your callers earlier calling him a horrendous defender, that's just a bad take. He's not a horrendous defender. He's nowhere near a horrendous defender. And the reason he always is going to work to me is he's one of the few guys in the league that can play either on the ball or off the ball. So you can plug him in anywhere. And then on top of that, he's going to do it efficiently, which something Jalen Green, he's not efficient. That's his whole problem.
Yeah.
And he doesn't make his teammates better. You know, so to me, to Evan's point, yeah, the regular season you might not see it, but I think they're way more lethal in the playoff series now with Durant. My last take is just this, you know, everything unfolding in these playoffs, what the Warriors need is like, I admit I can't throw names out at the top of my head of who I think they could pull off a magic trick with to get, but to me, we need a ton more talent, man, just in general, everywhere. Like, I'm looking at these teams, Moody and Pods, for all purposes, they were starters for us. They would not sniff a millisecond on either of those teams that I just watched in the finals. And if they did, that coach should be fired. I mean, there was guys on Oklahoma City's roster that weren't even playing anymore that I'd take over them, like Isaiah Joe. I'd take him over Moody and Pods right now. So to me, that's what they need, man. They need multifaceted players that are – we need talent. And if you don't believe in Kuminga, that means we need talent even more.
Yeah.
Even more the case. So that's all I got, guys. Have a good Monday. I appreciate you.
Appreciate it, Doc. See, this is where I'm glad Goo's not here.
Easy.
Because if Goo were here, see, I agree completely with Duck Sauce. If Moody and Pods are your starters, come on, Evan. Come on.
What about him?
We got to upgrade.
Yeah, you can't. All right, I'm going to be you for a second. You can't, Steiny. You can't just upgrade him. You can't just go get Jalen Williams and Caruso and Isaiah Joe and Aaron Wiggins and all these guys that you supposedly like. You can't. You have to figure out what you can do to help supplement the lack of talent on the team. And that's why I understand completely why Houston did what they did. And you and a lot of people, I think it's fair. You're feeling like, well, did you really get that much better? They had culture. What they didn't have was a singular, consistent talent on the perimeter. They didn't. They have a solid big man. They brought back Adams. They have a veteran point guard. But they didn't have a perimeter guy who could just create for himself or potentially even for others. So they got that. The Warriors have, I think, multiple voids, but let's say the biggest one is at the center position. They have to get a big man. The best one might be Miles Turner. And if they swung for that, I would totally understand, but like, they need a lot more help than the Houston Rockets right now. I think in regards to their roster, like Houston has a bunch of players that there is no room for them. They weren't ready yet, or they were too young. Like the Warriors are an extremely top heavy team, but they also lack a lot of depth.
Exactly. And that's the conundrum I think they're in is, you know, their older guys are very high paid. So there's not a lot of money for the role players, but the older guys, they got to keep playing for this thing to work, and there's no guarantee at that. This is the part that I'm thinking about. All okay. Right, Miles Turner.
Yeah.
Okay. Could you go get Miles Turner? If you could go get Miles Turner, you know what? Sure, I'll take Miles Turner. I think he's pretty good. But you know what? You know what I don't want? The Golden State Warriors have reached an agreement with Brook Lopez. Like, I don't want that. The Golden State Warriors.
But what if that's the best you can do?
Have acquired Clint Capella. God, I just don't want that.
What if that's the best you can do?
Give me some good news, damn it.
Like, well, I don't know if that's good news, but Steiny, the good news would be you don't go into next year with the three guys you don't want, which is Looney, Post, and TJD. I seriously think that's why someone like Brook Lopez is in conversations to become a Warrior. It's not because, yeah, you look at him, he's 38, but he might be the best that you can get, and you got to get something.
You want Al Horford?
I wouldn't mind having Al Horford.
So he's got one more year left in his deal, and there's all kinds of talk around Boston that they're going to maybe do something, and he could be a guy who could be had. He's 39.
He was still playing in a playoff series this year.
He's too old.
He is. But again, it's like, well, I hate to break it to you, but you went out and got a 36-year-old. That's who you traded for last year. So apparently getting older is not an issue this team has.
When will they?
Is a great question.
Well, I know the answer to it. It's when 30 retires. Rafi in Berkeley. What's going on, Rafi? How you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well.
Good, good. I got a quick one, I think, on a way to maybe frame a conversation around at least how you can talk about a contender.
Yeah.
I think you got to imagine your team, any team, without their number one guy. And that team needs to be a playoff team. So think about, like, if you think about OKC, OKC's making the playoffs without Shea, for sure, right? They're solid up and down. They're super athletic. They can score. They're probably not going to win, but they'll make the playoffs. Let's compare that with the Warriors. And if you can't make, I just think you can't frame yourself as a contender, any team. It's like the Celtics would have made the playoffs without Jason Tatum. They weren't going to contend, obviously, without Jason Tatum. And I think when you start thinking about the Warriors and how to build a team, you actually, I think you need to think about them without Steph Curry. And how do you build a play? How do you build the model of a team that's a playoff team actually without Steph Curry? And then you add Steph Curry and you become a contender. And the Warriors are not a playoff team, sadly, without our guy. And that's kind of my take.
Yeah. I actually kind of like that. You get what he was getting at?
Take away the best player and see how good you are?
No, if you take away, let's say you take away Jimmy, well, it's Curry, but let's say, it, just for hypothetical sake, it was Butler. So you took Butler off the Warriors and they were a 500 team.
Yeah.
So what he's saying is they weren't really a playoff team at that point because they were like a 9 or 10 seed. So the Warriors without Butler or without Curry would need to be a playoff team. So what he's saying is the Boston Celtics will make the playoffs next year without Jason Tatum.
Probably, yeah.
So he's saying then they're a title contender when you put that best player back on their team. I kind of get what he's saying. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, but those are also, like, no, I agree.
Like, okay, let me ask you this. Going into next year, just using what we have now, and it'll probably change. Who are title contenders next year based on just what happened up until the start of the show today?
OKC.
All right.
Cleveland.
Okay.
I would say the Knicks. And in the West, you're looking at, I would say Denver.
All right.
I would say Houston.
Okay. Minnesota?
Yeah. Yeah, Minnesota.
Clippers?
That really depends on the health of Kawhi Leonard.
What about the Warriors?
Are they contenders?
Title contenders.
Well, how...
I guess that's where, if I had, you know, I don't think they are right now.
Right now, no.
Right. Well, that...
Right now, no.
Right. If they get Giannis for nothing, then that obviously changes. But you would now put the Rockets in that category.
I think I would. Because I don't know. I thought that they were going to be better. If they did nothing this summer, I think they would get better. But, again, I just feel like they identified the biggest need on their roster. And the only reason that people aren't putting them in a contending category, it's because they don't think Durant is that player anymore. That's what it feels like I'm hearing a lot of today. And I get it, but I think he is going to help them more than people are giving him credit for.
Yeah, and just again, like, hey, Sonny, Rockets got Durant. Yeah, okay. Okay. Like, I don't jump immediately to they are a title contender, but I'm not saying, oh, that's a terrible move. It's more like, all right, we'll see if that works with Durant there. It could. Might be good. Sounds good on paper.
Well, let's, the reason why it's...
kind of see.
Well, it's like, okay, are the Warriors a contender? Yeah, Denver, Clippers, Warriors, Rockets. Is anybody going to pick them to beat OKC next year?
Not right now.
No, like anybody in the West. Anybody.
Well, I mean...
I don't mean the Warriors. I don't mean Houston. Reason why they're contenders is because...
Right now, I would say no. Like the Oklahoma City Thunder are the favorite, right?
Yeah, they should be.
Right. But, like, let's say theoretically, you know, Giannis could go somewhere, and if he goes in the West, it could change the balance of power. If he, you know, Can the Lakers get Giannis without moving any, you know, Luka or LeBron? I don't know.
But all right, let's say you put Giannis, Luka, and LeBron in the same team together.
Yep.
I'm assuming that team has nothing else.
Probably not.
You don't have Reeves. You're going to have to give up Hachimura, whatever you want to give up. Like, I wouldn't pick that team to beat the Thunder.
Probably not.
So that's the gap that we're talking about here. That's why watching last night, I felt so bad for the Pacers because nobody gave them a chance. And they were up by one at the half with their best player getting hurt. That's like, it just makes me feel awful for them because I don't know if they're ever going to get back. And I don't know if a team in the West is ever going to be able to beat, or in the near future will beat OKC. Because they look like they're set up to, I don't know if become a dynasty is the way to put it, but certainly be the favorite in the West for the foreseeable future.
You would think they're going to contend for a while, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Let's go to Rich. Rich is in Los Altos. Hey, Rich, how you doing, man?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Yeah, no, I was just kind of thinking outside the box a little bit. I mean, I think we have, 2-3 years left of Steph realistically, right?
Yep.
We have an aging roster. Once Steph is gone, we're going to be terrible. Everybody knows that. Let's just sell out the farm for Giannis. Or I was thinking, you know, since Draymond and Steph are so close to LeBron, what about LeBron and Bronny trying to get them, make a trade? And just, you know, whoever... Anybody but Jimmy Butler and Steph and Draymond is open for discussion.
Yeah, let me get to Giannis for a sec, because thanks for the call, Rich. Appreciate it. Okay, so I just said if somehow the Lakers could get Giannis, you know, would they be the favorite or could they win it? And you said, well, they wouldn't be favored, and I agree. So. But that doesn't mean you would not do it if you're LA, right?
What's the trade?
Well, the trade is Giannis to the Lakers for everything other than LeBron. And
oh, yeah. If you can do it, I think yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you can acquire Giannis, you probably give up whatever you need to.
Is there any...
I think that's the same case for the Warriors.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at. If you don't think the Lakers would be a title contender... If you dropped Giannis on their team, would the Warriors be a contender if you dropped Giannis on their team, knowing that you're probably not going to have Green, Kuminga, I don't know, Pajemski, Trayce Jackson-Davis?
Well, you already said Pods can't start for a playoff team, so it's irrelevant there.
I mean, technically, you did.
I know, but you've already said Trayce Jackson-Davis can't be one of the three centers on this roster next year and hope to compete.
No. Maybe I didn't say it right. You can't come back with that three-headed center. I'm not saying they all need to be off the roster.
Well, you may not, because Looney's a free agent.
Exactly. That's just what I mean. I mean, you can't come back with Post under contract, Trayce under contract, and Looney under contract.
No, if Giannis is available, you have to trade for him. Like, if the Bucks present a package to the Warriors that involves, yeah, let's say Draymond, Kuminga, all your first... Like, don't you have to do it? And it's because of the state of their franchise. Like, they're not... I don't think that the Warriors have really operated, Steiny, like they're playing for the future. Now, they might have an eye on it, but they're 90% on next season. They're not all in, but I would say they're mostly in on next year. And so how do you give yourself the best chance? I think everybody who's called in has been... spot on. Like, you need talent. And Giannis is quite literally the largest talent out there.
You know, and you brought this up, and I want to ask Warrior fans this. Taking into account the whole postseason, Warriors beat Houston, they lose to Minnesota. Oklahoma City gets to the finals. Minnesota gets to the Western Conference Finals. The Indiana Pacers sneak into the finals and almost win it. If you're a Warrior fan and you've watched this postseason, do you feel more encouraged that the Golden State Warriors could actually win it next year because it's so wide open? Or do you look at the Warriors now and say, they can't win it? How come? There's just too many other good young teams out there. Because I'm not sure what the answer is. 888-957-9570 is the number. I mean, do you feel more enthusiastic about next season knowing that the Indiana Pacers almost won it and they were a 4 seed and they weren't on a lot of people's radar? Or do you look at the league and say, you know what? Probably not going to happen anymore for the Warriors. 888-957-9570. That segment sponsored by Safeway.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.